Okay. So settle in today. There are three things that I'd like to talk about. And so it's going to be a while before we're gone. So I'm just kidding a little bit. I'm not too good at jokes. But there are three things I want to talk about today. And the first thing I want to talk about is our country. And so we celebrated America's birthday this week, July 4th. So I thought it's an appropriate time to talk about these things. So I want to talk a little bit about that. And then I want to talk about the Torah portion. And then thirdly, I want to talk about what God's will is for each of our lives. So those three things are what we want to talk about. And I pray, and I have prayed, that each of you will receive a blessing from the Lord. But the first thing I want to say is sort of an overriding principle about anything that I will try to say. First of all, you hear every week, if you come, the Torah blessing, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam. It's the first part of the Torah blessing, and it's the first part of most of the blessings that we recite. And it means, Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe. And it's not just words. We really, really believe it. I really believe it. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe. He is the King of the universe. That means he is above you and he is above me. He knows what's good for you and what's bad for you. And so if you listen to him, you will have good things. And if you rebel against him, you won't have the best things. It's a pretty easy thing to understand. It's hard to do. Believe me, I'm preaching to myself. I'm not a rabbi. I'm a regular congregant just like you, but God has me here to speak with you today. So that's the first thing, that the first principle that I want to make sure that we cover. He communicates to us in many, many ways. He communicates to us through his word. He communicates to us through others. He communicates to us through his deeds, his actions. Have you ever thought about, you know, the fact that, you know, we have seasons and that pretty much every time is a repeat of the same time of the prior year? In the spring, the things bud, the trees get their leaves, it's very beautiful. In the summer, and I mean literally just days apart, things are budding. First week in March, there are certain things. The second week, there's another thing. And it literally is the same every year. In the fall, pretty much the same week. The leaves turn colors. The days get darker. The same day of every year, the same time. God has order to our world. It's not just a bunch of chaos out there. He has ordered our world. Like I said, I'm learning a little bit about this technology every day. But the first thing that I want to talk about is our birthday. So I want to spend just a few minutes talking about that. So turn with me, please, just to a couple of scriptures. And so the first scripture that I'd like you to turn to is Isaiah 33. Please turn with me to Isaiah 33. And I will do the same. And the verse I want to turn to is verse 22. Let's just read that verse together, because I'm going to talk about it for just a minute. For God is our judge, God is our lawgiver, God is our king. He will save us. So the founding fathers, when they founded this country, they knew a couple of things. They knew this verse. They knew that God is in charge of everything, and God knows what's best in every way. They also knew that we are not capable of doing all those things ourselves. We can't do judge, lawgiver and king. We can't do it. We have too much pride. We have too much thoughts about power. And so our founding fathers set up our system to split those three things up, which makes sense. It's very logical. But God can do it. And so just think about that. That's a good thing that our country does. We have a segregation of power since mankind can't do that all himself and do it without being selfish. We just can't do it. So we did a good thing when we started out this country. So now the next thing that I want to say is, you know, how are we doing? You know, and so, you know, I want to say that, you know, in my life, there have been a lot of changes. I was born in 1956, and not all the changes have been bad in our country. I think some of the changes have been really good. For those of you that know much about American history or have been around as long as I have, we had a really good thing happen in 1964. We had the Civil Rights Act get passed. That was a great thing. My father, prior to 1964, couldn't get a job except with the government. I mean, you wonder why so many Jewish people have their own businesses and successful businesses. No one would hire them. And my father never talks about that kind of stuff. So when he told me that, it was a really, really unusual thing for him to say. And so I guess I was probably in my 30s when he told me. But he said, you know, prior to the Civil Rights Act, every time you went for a job, you had to put what your religion was on the interview process. And he said it was amazing. He said he'd go into an interview and people would just, you know, they were so happy to see him. And, you know, wow, he said he had one guy say to him, you know what? You've got great grades. You went to a great school. You know, I really like you a lot. I mean, you are the absolute perfect person for this job. But as soon as he looked down his resume and he saw something, he said, sorry, this isn't going to work. And so my father couldn't get a job. He ended up getting a job with the government, which you could get a job with the government at that time. But in 1965, he took a job in private industry because you couldn't ask that question anymore and did really well. And so, you know, there was a lot of discrimination against people that were Jewish. There was a lot of discrimination and still is against other people. And so, but I think that the Civil Rights Act did help. That was one good thing. But now how about some of the other things? And so I'm not here to talk politics. I'm really not. But I am here to tell you what God says. And so let's turn to another scripture. And this time let's turn to Psalms, the book of Psalms. And it also is chapter 33, I believe. Yes, chapter 33 and verse 12. So it says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. So God says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And so I just ask you, and I'm not going to answer this question, is God the Lord of our nation? And so you need to think about that. And it's a question. I personally think that, you know, some things have happened that would certainly question that. But I leave that with you to question that. We can certainly pray. We can pray that God turn us around. We can pray that we make this nation where God is the Lord. We can vote. We can do all those things. So I leave that one with you. And then there's a third one I want to leave with you as well. And let me see if I can turn to that. Hang on with me for just a moment. If I can find it. Whoops. Not going to find it in the Michaels app. Here it is. Third one is Proverbs 14:34. So let's turn there. Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. So again, I leave that with you. As a nation, have we gone forward or have we gone backwards? And so I'm a little concerned about our country. It's the nation's birthday. Let's pray for our country that we maybe do some of the things that we've done wrong and change a little bit. So that's the first part of the message. The second part of the sermon I want to talk about is the Torah portion. So here we have a man, Korah, and we read in the readings earlier that Korah said to Moses, "Who are you? I'm part of the community as well." We read in the Hebrew and in the English. You can look down the lineage of Korah. He's from the lineage of Reuben. He is definitely a Jewish man. And he said, you know, hey, who are you to tell us what to do? We're just as good as you are. And so what God said was, you know, hey, wait a second. You know what? I chose Moses. I'm the one that decided that I want him to be my servant and he to lead the people. Moses didn't come to me with his selfishness and say, I am going to, by my force, lead the people. God chose Moses. God met him in a burning bush, if you remember that story. And, you know, when God chooses somebody to be in charge, it's not up to us to argue with God. If in fact God has chosen them, okay, if they're not living according to the ways that they're supposed to be living, we can definitely intercede there. But assuming they're trying, they are doing their best, they're doing what God is having them to do, it is our responsibility to fall in line and follow God's servant. And if you read a little further in that passage, you'll find that a lot of the people didn't do that. They said, you know what? We don't like what happened. Korah and his 250 men rebelled against God. So what did God do? God opened up the earth, and he sent those 250 men straight down to hell. The earth was opened up and consumed the men. So what was the response of the people? The people were very angry at Moses, and they said to Moses, "You killed these men." And certainly Moses did no such thing. All Moses did was what God told him to do. God called him. So God was very angry, and God was ready to consume all the people. You remember last week, Rabbi Shulam talked about God being ready to consume all the people and making a new nation of Moses. And Moses said, no, don't do it. Well, the same thing happened this week. Moses interceded for the people and said to God, please let me repent for these people. These are your people, Lord. And God did relent. He did. But 14,700 were killed. And so there are consequences to rebelling against God. They may not always be the same, and they aren't always the same. But a conscious rebellion against God, as we see from these scriptures, is not a good thing. It's really not. So I think we can really learn a lot from our Torah portion in how we live our lives today, even thousands of years later. So now let's get to the third part of our discussion. And so the third part is, what does God want you to do with your life? And this seems like a crazy question. How can God tell 70 people what he has for their lives? Because there's 70 different things. What God has for my life is different than what God has for your life. It's absolutely a different will. There's no doubt about it. And to make things even more complicated, what God has for each of our lives is different at different times of our lives. So we have all different things happening depending on where we're at in our lives. Some of us have young children. Some of us don't. My children are not as young anymore. What His will for my life in regard to taking care of my children is different than His will for your life might be. If you have a newborn, He wants you to give a tremendous amount of attention to that newborn. For my 19-year-old, I don't need to give him as much attention. I did when he was newborn, but not now. But let's sort of get down to the basics first and talk about what God's will for your life is. Well, first and foremost, God wants you to understand and accept that He's the King of the universe, that He can do anything. And He wants you to realize that you can't be perfect. We are all sinners. You read the scripture with us in Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. We are not perfect. We can't be perfect. But God is perfect. And so there's a dilemma there. How can God be so perfect when we're not? What do we do? So God solves that for us. God says there's only one thing that we have to do. First and foremost, we have to listen to what He says. He says in Leviticus 17:11, the life of the flesh is the blood, and I have made it on the altar to provide atonement for you. This is right in the Torah. We read that section every year. God had two choices. There are two things we have to have for life. We have to have blood, and we have to have oxygen. God chose blood. He says, for you to have atonement, you have to have blood sacrifice. So we used to have the altar, and we had the temple. We don't have that anymore. So God made a different way. God made a way by sending a sacrifice for us. And He made the ultimate sacrifice. He sent Yeshua for us. Yeshua, in the Hebrew, means salvation. God is very orderly. He actually named His Son Salvation. He did. It's an amazing thing. And He has 300 scriptures in the Torah and the prophets that speak of His Son, speak of the Messiah to come, speak of the atoning death. Not just the New Testament, 300 in the Old Testament. I'm just going to have us look at one. It's a very, very important scripture. So turn with me to Isaiah 53. We're going to read that chapter. It's a beautiful chapter. Who hath believed our report? And who to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? For He grew up before Him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him. So there we see that when we see the Messiah, there is no beauty the way we think of it that we desire Him. That's God, because God looks at the heart. We look at the outside. We look at how good-looking people are, and we're impressed with all that kind of stuff. God doesn't do that. And He even created His own Son that wasn't beautiful. It's an amazing thing. So if you see pictures of some beautiful Messiah, that's not what He's going to look like. It's right here, and His word's guaranteed to be right. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hid their face and was despised, we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. I'm going to stop there. He's the one that does it. It's his blood that provides us atonement. So I'll stop right now for a second and just say, if you haven't received the Messiah, that is God's will for your life right now. It's absolutely the truth. It's not just that it's okay for your kids to receive the Messiah or for your spouse to receive the Messiah. If you haven't received the Messiah, that's what his will is for your life right now. So that's point one. Next point is you say, okay, I've received the Messiah. What next? Okay, what's the next thing that God has for me? He has a lot of things for you. He wants you to rely on him for everything, which, by the way, I don't do a very good job of. I don't rely on him very well for work. He takes care of me very, very well. I have no needs whatsoever. And, by the way, most of my wants are provided, but I certainly have no needs. But I worry about my job. I suspect each of you probably does too, especially when things get difficult. As Rabbi Shulam said last week, why worry about what man can do to you? God is going to provide for you. So we've got to every day wake up and say, God, my life is in your hands. It's in your control. And so what else does he do? He uses the things that we like to further his kingdom. And, you know, it's really quite amazing the things that can happen when he does that. We have two ladies to my left that help us almost every week. We're not having an Oneg this week, but we do almost every week. And God has blessed them with the ability to put that together beautifully and perfectly. And it's a perfect situation of they are in God's will. There's no way I could do that. It just couldn't happen. It's not God's will for my life. So the important thing for me is to recognize that and sort of get out of the way and let God use them for what he has for us and just enjoy it. I've noticed sort of the past few weeks that Kara's husband, Nico, he's been playing the drums for us, and it's amazing the talent he has. I don't know if you've noticed, but I have. He's crazy talented, and he loves it. I've not talked to him about this. I can just see he loves it. He is so talented, and he loves it. I mean, God has given him that talent. We're blessed by it. And so, you know, again, look for what God has given you talents. Look at what you like to do. He will use you as a blessing to other people. Now, sometimes God has to hit all of us, myself included, with a 2x4 to figure it out. I'll share a personal story with you. I love playing soccer. I love it. I love playing. I played for a long time, and I stopped playing for 30 years. And a couple years ago, I said to myself, I'm going to start playing again. I've got more time. My children are of an age where I can do all that kind of stuff. And so I found a group of guys that play on Sunday mornings. They play at 9 a.m. Sunday mornings, and so I go out to play with them. Of course, me thinking the way I think, you know, I'm just out there to play soccer. No problem at all, you know. But, you know, God's got a different idea. He'll let me do it. I love doing it. He'll let me play, but he has something else for me out there. So, and the only reason I found out was because he knocked me over the head with a 2x4. I was walking on the field one day. We warm up, and then we go and we play. Walking on the field, and one of the other players said to me, he goes, I don't believe in God. And so I smiled, and I said, I got it, God. I'm supposed to do something here other than play soccer. You'll let me do it. I love it, but I'm not just here for that purpose. So God will bring people around you. He will. And so we are to be a blessing. We're not to cheat. We're not to steal. We're not to steal time from our work. We are to be the best workers we can be. We are to be the best friends we can be. And you know what? We're not to complain. I'm the worst of any of us. I get it, but we're not supposed to. God has us here for a purpose. And I can promise you, people see what you do, not what you say. It's the way life works. It's the fact. And so how you act around people is what they see. If you are a believer and you say to people, you know what? You need Messiah. You need God. You're right. But if you cheat, they will say, why do I need a Messiah or a God that has someone that's worse than me or even as bad as me? I cheat, but it doesn't matter. I don't believe in God. You cheat, you believe in God. I can tell you, people that I know, they carouse, they do things they're not supposed to be doing, and they do. But if I do that, they'll say to me, you're no different than me. So even though they're doing it, it doesn't mean you do it. They don't even want you to do it. They know they're doing wrong. And so what you do in the name of God is very, very important. It's super important. So I want to make sure that you know that. That's God's will for your life. It's not to carouse around. It's not to get drunk. It's not to go and run around with people. It's not to be ungodly. If you're married, be faithful to your spouse, period. Don't say, I don't like the way they look anymore. It doesn't matter. I don't like what they say. It doesn't matter. You have to be godly. If you want to have an example for people, it's the way it is. And that's the thing that is the cost of serving the Lord. You can't do all the things that other people can do. So, you know what? Count the cost when you're serving the Lord. It's important. But in the end, God has what's good for you and what's right for you. He does. It's just a simple matter. He knows better than you know. And his ways are higher than our ways. And if you say, I want to be close to God, then that's great. We have a promise. We read it earlier in the scripture readings. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. It's a fact. It will happen. So if you want to draw near to God, he will draw near to you. So let's see. I got a couple other things. Have you ever thought about not doing what God asks you to do? And you know that he's asked you to do it, and you won't do it. And you say to you, and I say, that's crazy. It doesn't make any sense. And you even say, when other people don't do that, you say, that's so crazy. How could he have not done what God asked him to do? Well, I can think of one great example. So please turn with me to the book of Jonah. And as you're turning, let me tell you a little bit about the book of Jonah. Jonah was a prophet. Jonah knew God. And Jonah was connected with God. Jonah talked to God. God talked to Jonah. And so get the picture of somebody that's connected with God, that serves God, and God asked him to do something. God asked him to go to Nineveh. Nineveh was not a very nice place. Nineveh made the current problems in the Middle East look mild. These were terrorists. This was the government that was sponsoring terrorism. This was people that had beheaded people on their mantles to show how bad they were. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. But God wanted him to go. So what did he do? And let's read verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah. So the word came to Jonah. It came. Son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come before me. So God knew. It wasn't like God didn't know. God knew that Nineveh was absolutely terrible. He knew the atrocities they were doing. He knew it. But he told Jonah to go. So what did Jonah do? But Jonah rose up to flee from Tarshish, unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So Jonah did what a lot of people would do. He went in the opposite direction. You ever thought about that? No, Lord, I don't want to do that. I mean, you know what? He didn't want to do it. He didn't want to go to the hotbed of terrorism. These people were cutting people's heads off. And so he went in the opposite direction. Now, we don't have time to go through the rest of the story, but you know what? God did some interesting things to Jonah, made him go through a lot. And ultimately, Jonah did go to Nineveh. So you will be put in positions that you don't want to be put in. There's just no doubt about it. I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, the more that you serve the Lord, the more he is going to stretch you. I mean, I will tell you a personal story. God asked me to share the good news with two ladies. One of my, not a close neighbor, but somebody I know, and I see every once in a while, not very often, just in the neighborhood. The other, a relative of mine. And so I know the story of Jonah. So I said to God, I will do it. There's no question about it. I will do it. I don't want to do it because you know what? Talking to my relative is going to mean they're going to tell my family members who say, you know what? It's bad enough that you're a believer, but now you're going to bug the rest of the relatives? So, you know, God puts you in uncomfortable positions. He does. He's going to. But he's got it in control. He does. He has it under control. It's not going to be perfect, but it is in the end because he will bless you if you do it. So I don't know what it is God has for you. I really don't. But he has something for you. And if you have not accepted the Messiah that he's provided, and again, it's not your spouse that accepts it or your children. It's got to be you. Then accept the Messiah. It's easy. His burden is light. He's done all the work for you. He sent the Messiah of Israel to die for your sins, to be buried, and to be risen, have risen on the third day. And if you accept that, if you believe it, and you confess it with your mouth, and you believe it in your heart, you will be saved. And if you don't, you won't. It's that simple. So I would just like to ask the people in the congregation to consider that if you haven't accepted the Messiah. Accept the Messiah. Just say, Lord God, I know you've got the right way. You know, you're the king of Israel. You're the king of the world. You're the king of everybody. And I accept your plan, not my plan. My parents don't want it. My friends don't want it. I accept your plan. And Lord, I just accept your way. I accept Yeshua as my Messiah, not as somebody else's, as mine. So please pray that. And if you have, and if you do, we are going to ask you to let someone here know let one of the prayer warriors know, the under-shepherds. They will pray with you. They will rejoice in you. All the angels in heaven will be rejoicing with you. If you have other needs, other problems, we are going to ask some people to come up here and pray with you. So if I could ask some of the under-shepherds to please come up, and if someone has accepted the Messiah, pray with them. If they have other issues that they want to pray about, pray with them too. And please, if you would, please rise, and we'll give the Aaronic benediction, and the prayer warriors will be here to pray with you after we recite the Aaronic benediction. So please, if you would. Yivarechech Adonai ve'yishmerecha Ya'ir na'panav elecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panav elecha ve'asim lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his grace shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, go in peace. Amen.